Hi, I'm Gary, and this is episode 209 of EV Musings, a podcast about renewables, electric vehicles, and things that are interesting to electric vehicle owners. On the show today, we'll be looking at the experience of people who live without home charging. This season of the podcast is sponsored by ZapMap, the free-to-download app that helps EV drivers search, plan, and pay for their charging. This particular episode is in partnership with EVA England, the body advocating on behalf of electric vehicle drivers in England. See the show notes for membership details and a link to their website. Before we start, another quick reminder about my ebooks for EV beginners. All you need to know about living with, driving in, and charging an electric vehicle. Follow the link in the show notes to download the ebook from Amazon, or if you're a Prime member, you can read it through the Kindle lending library for absolutely nothing. Free as in beer. Our main topic of discussion today is home charging, or more specifically, EV drivers who live without home charging. We've mentioned this topic a couple of times before on the show over the years. Podcast co-founder Simon doesn't have home charging and has lived with several EVs, including a Tesla, without it. The thing that worked in his favour was the fact that his workplace had destination charging that he could use on a regular basis. But not everyone has this luxury. We also finished up last season with episode 199, which was the pavement charging episode. In that, we talked about some of the offerings out there for drivers who don't have off-street parking. This includes lamppost charging, pavement charging, and sites such as podpoint chargers at Tesco stores, for example. Check out the episode if you're new here or want a refresher. Today I want to speak to a number of other people who don't have home charging and see how they cope. Now, before I start, it has to be said that if you do have home charging, it makes it really, really simple to own an electric vehicle. You can benefit from cheap overnight electricity rates, you can plug your car in and just forget about it. It's so much simpler. But in the UK, 28% of car owners do not have off-street parking. Now, this is a different value to the off-quota statistic that 40% of people don't have off-street charging. The difference is that one of those figures is looking at dwellings without parking. The other is looking at vehicles without parking. There's a big difference. If you don't own a car and you live in a flat with no off-street parking, so what? But for those who don't live in a dwelling with off-street parking, running an EV can become a little more inconvenient. Although how inconvenient does depend on your circumstances. Remember, we never had petrol pumps in our front drives, but we managed to survive without them for hundreds of years, well, over 100 years, with fossil fuel cars. So in reality, it shouldn't be much of an issue. But of course, it is an issue because of the perceived difference in dwell times between charging a car and filling at a pump. Although, as I've said on previous episodes, the myth of the 5-minute refill is just that, a myth. So what I wanted to do is look at some different scenarios and speak to people who have different use cases for their charging. Now, we've already had Simon on the show. He has local 7-kilowatt chargers he uses a couple of times a week if he needs to. Plus, he can charge at work on the destination workplace chargers there. And driving a Tesla, he now has access to the supercharger network, which with the car he has, the Model Y, he can recharge his car in pretty much the time it takes him to have a pee and grab a coffee. So for him, it's not a major issue, and he's perfectly happy with that from a convenience point of view. There is the financial aspect to that, which we'll come onto in a short while. Simon, however, is still using free supercharger miles he received through referral codes for his Tesla, so at the moment, he's not seeing the financial hit. But not everyone is in that situation. I wanted to speak to people who don't have home chargers and find out what the situation is for them. Now, as you listen to the naysayers on social media, they seem to indicate that not having a home charger means you'll end up in a life of hell with an EV. It's fair to say that living without a home charger does add an extra level of complexity to the situation that having a home charger removes. But it doesn't mean it's an impossibility, nor that having to charge using public chargers only makes EV ownership untenable. So I reached out to the listeners and asked them to provide answers to a few questions about their situation. Now, friend of the podcast, Sarah Sloman, lives in a cottage in the Cotswolds with some fairly strict regulations on what can and can't be added to the cottage. So she's unable to add a charger to her house.
I have been driving electric cars since about 2018. I generally recharge my car whilst out and about and often on rapid chargers because I don't have a home charger. Occasionally, I'll use AC charging probably maybe once a week or overnight up at the village hall, but that can be very expensive for me and of course slow and limited for parking restrictions. So I generally stay at a rapid charger for around 1 hour and just move on because of the pressures of time, but I'll rarely bother to stop for anything less than 30 minutes. So I do make very specific journeys to charge my car. For example, my lease includes the Tesla supercharging network, but as the nearest charge is about 20 miles away, it makes it a 30 mile round trip. And I know that's confusing, but it's because of the way the motorway junctions are structured. So either way, quite inconvenient unless you're already on the motorway. Cost isn't really an issue for me because I have no choice. I have to use the public network. The biggest issue of me not having a home charger is because I live on a very tight, narrow lane in a rural location in a small terrace house. I'm actually going to move house soon, and one of the considerations I'm making is to make sure I've got a home charger installed or at least a driveway from which I can charge out of the window, because the pressure on life just means I run out of time, and sometimes being able to wake up knowing that you've got a full charge can be a huge relief.
Another London driver and former guest with Lamppost Charging is EVA England CEO James Cord.
Yeah, so again, I live in sort of suburban sort of zone three London, but I am fortunate enough to have, I think, five lamppost chargers all within a minute's walk of me. And I think for a lot of people like me, I sort of charge once or twice a month. So it's not a huge issue when it comes to everyday life. When it comes to things like me driving down to Devon, I usually make sure that I've got a full tank before I go down. And I can sort of get down to extra Newton Abbot on one stop if I'm not sort of herring it down there. So day to day, it works well for me because I'm a huge user, 5,000 to 6,000 miles a year. But I am also trying to do other things. So I am desperate to try and campaign for gully charging, and my local authority, whilst very good at lots of things, still seems to be saying a blank no. Gully charging, which is disappointing because it means I could use the most out of my solar panels and obviously access that at a lower cost. I'm also trying to get my local golf club to install EV charging. They've got a huge amount of solar panels and at the moment no EV charging, and golf's one of those things that you spend 4 or 5 hours there, usually during daytime, and it would be a good way of getting funding for them. And there's also a local cricket club I'm trying to get involved in, a very similar thing. So yeah, trying to get some of those more innovative ideas out there. I think gully is probably going to be, for me, a real game changer if I get it to happen. And obviously, if we can get more sports clubs and places like that in local facilities, that also opens up that possibility and gives finance to local clubs. So that's another thing I'm sort of passionate about. But again, it's the same thing I say to everybody. If you've got a driveway and you are not driving to Aberdeen every week, it's probably a no-brainer. If you're less than that, you do need to do a little bit of research. Have you got the local infrastructure locally, and what is your driving profile? I think I get to park in front of my house probably 50% of the time. So, and I wouldn't have that expectation that because I've got a gully which I've paid for, I then own the parking space outside my house. I think it's very important that if gullies are going to get forward, that is not the expectation that you have, but it would make it slightly easier for me. And as I said, I do only charge once or twice a month. And because I can usually get to park in my house, it would be a solution. It might not be a solution for everybody, but it's certainly one of the things I can see that would make a big difference to those without driveways. So it's uber twisty. It's obviously, it has become more expensive. It's gone up, but obviously electricity prices have gone up. We actually do a survey at the EVA once a year, and we've done ratings on CPOs. And actually, I think it's probably a little bit unfortunate for sort of the slower chargers. They probably don't get ranked quite as highly as others. And that's just part and parcel of what and who they are. I quite like the cheap and cheerful lamppost charging and sort of don't get too fussed about it if it doesn't work instantly, because it is what it is, which is a cheap and very necessary piece of infrastructure that I hope we can roll out more of. it is an area that we are going to try and have to think outside the box on if we are ever going to bridge that gap between driveways and people that have that both the ease, but also the very real cost of it, and those that rely wholly on public charging like myself. So obviously the price is something that is going to be ever more interesting as more people go in to EVs. So obviously there's the Fair Charge VAT campaign. But also there's another ask that we're going to be pushing out this year, which is trying to move the costs from electricity bills to gas bills, which is something the government are talking about. That would, for most people, 80% of people who have both gas and electric heating, you wouldn't really notice it. It just goes from one to another. But for those that are either on heat pumps or for those who've got electric vehicles, it would be a huge saving. Plus, you could save some of that money on public charging as well. So that could have a real impact. It's one of those things where the government are trying to incentivize the electrification of things, disincentivize the use of gas. It would then make sense for some of those costs to be moved across, try and incentivize the thing you actually want us all to be doing.
I asked my listener base if they have any particular insights to share on this. Abigail Dombey lives in Brighton and has no home charging. The on-street charging provision in that area is reasonable-ish, but she tells me that there is quite a big problem.
I have to say that driving an EV is a lot more expensive than I had hoped it would be. When I got my car back in June last year, the local lamppost chargers were 39p a kilowatt hour, which was fine. Unfortunately, 3 days later, they put the price up to 60p a kilowatt hour, and it basically makes driving an EV as expensive as driving my very old petrol car, and more expensive in terms of fuel costs than driving a modern hybrid. And I do find that really challenging. I find that really frustrating. And I know that it's holding back other people in Brighton and Hove from switching to EVs. Unfortunately, because I'm reliant on lamppost charging from Blink chargers, there aren't any subscriptions I can take for Blink to be cheaper, or none that I know of at least. And they don't do any discounts for off-peak charging. So I can't reduce the overall cost that I pay when using Blink. And I don't really have the time and the energy to drive around for hours to try and find cheaper charging points when it takes, you know, 5-6 hours at least to charge my car up.
As a result of issues like this, Abigail is finding it difficult to live without a charger, although she is making it happen. The cost increases meant she's paying more for her charging than it would cost to run a diesel. But is this a common thing? I mean, generally, if you are charging using the public rapid charging network and that's all you're using, then it can soon add up to be as expensive as running a petrol or diesel vehicle. We've talked before about ways to reduce your public charging costs. See episode 169, a cheap charging episode, for more details. So limiting yourself to overnight street charging on AC usually works out cheaper, although in Abigail's case, this wasn't the situation. Blink charging probably have some explaining to do there. Does Abigail use services like Zap Home or CoCharger?
I've had a look at CoCharger previously to see if there were any available charging points, and there are very few across Brighton and Hove. In preparation for this podcast, I actually had a look at Zap Home because I wasn't aware of them. And I thought, oh, maybe I've missed a trick. Maybe there are some other charging points that I've been missing out on. But I had a look, and there's only 4 or 5 across the city. They're generally barely cheaper than Blink charging in the first place. And they had some, I mean, they don't seem to be the friendliest either. I think there was one review that said that the owner only wanted nice EVs to charge at their place, and that they had turned down the reviewer because they had a Renault Zoe.
So on a micro level, cost is an issue for Abigail and the people living in Brighton. But for Abigail, it's also a little bit more than that at a macro level.
I work in decarbonisation, and I have done the whole of my career. I work really hard to spread the word, to try and encourage other people to think about whether they need to drive, and if they need to drive, what car they drive, and can they switch to an EV. if they need a car. And it's really, really hard to convince my neighbours and my friends in Brighton and Hove to switch to an EV when we are reliant on slow and over expensive lamppost chargers.
Patreon subscriber and all-round good egg Ron Godfrey is one of those people who's driven numerous kinds of electric vehicles. Now, he doesn't have home charging and, again, relies on public charging wherever he can. And one big difference that Ron has versus the other people we might speak to today is that Ron, like co-founder Simon, runs a Tesla. Now, Tesla are much cheaper than most other charging companies when it comes to the tariffs that they charge for public charging. They've adopted a full time-of-day tariff structure, which changes based on what time you plug in. This means that at peak times, you could be paying a lot for your charge, but off-peak, you could pay at one point as little as 24 pence a kilowatt hour to charge your Tesla on a rapid charger. Again, we talked about this in an earlier episode, 186, the charger pricing episode. You need to be driving a Tesla to make use of the lowest tariffs, although anyone driving a CCS-enabled car in the UK can benefit from cheap charging at a supercharger if they have one close to them. There are now 43 locations open to all cars across the country. 5 of them are in Wales, 6 in Scotland, 19 are south of Birmingham, and the rest are scattered around the country. So how does Ron deal with charging?
0% chance of home charging. A 1990s terraced house on an estate and allocated parking some distance away. I've slipped into the habit of the vast majority of charging being rapid, and then occasionally I find destination charging near to where I am on my travels and may use that. It used to be an occasional thing to ensure I rebalance the cells on whichever car I had. Now it's, if I stop, might I get a choice of using the time to charge? Sometimes it's nearly daily. A few days ago, I found myself plugging in 3 times, a convenient volt and bolt for a stretch after 90 minutes of driving, then a longer stop, which turned into a full charge because I'd plugged in at the service centre and had a long chat with the staff there over a new car in the showroom. And then, 40 miles later, I wanted a stretch, a coffee and a loaf of bread and to plan the rest of my day. So I chose a grid-serve electric forecourt on my route, and topped up again while the pricing was still advantageous. It's just a routine habit, though. On a small handful of occasions, I've made a trip out, usually first thing in the morning, to get a charge which I might combine with a 20-minute walk. This so I can make a trip later without too much pressure and when my wife is in the passenger seat. But overwhelmingly, it's as part of the day-to-day drive when I can see a need to brake. I quickly realised it's pretty crappy near to where I live, and it hasn't really got any better. But when I started out, charging near home, like you might visit the local petrol station, seemed like the thing to do with no home charging. But that was an outdated mindset. I relished the thought of a peek at Charge Finder or Zap Map and spy some new venue or some options near to where I'm going to travel. Some people won't think like this, I know, but it's almost a sort of hobby, as well as being part of my day job anyway. So I learnt not to worry about the poor local provision I see. Some better stuff has been creeping into the sort of 25-30 minute from home region. Tesla I would look to for in excess of 80%, then I can feel okay at the odd premium for convenience. Figuring out I can do 80% on Tesla pricing means that overall I can come out at something near 10 pence per mile. Currently I'm comfortable at that rate, but the price per mile of fueling is still only a part of overall costs of any vehicle. About once a month I check if anyone near me is signed up to co-charger. Despite the number of EVs cropping up around me, I've yet to find one and have not been motivated enough to do door knocking to discuss.
What this discussion has brought up is that there are definitely two different sorts of drivers when it comes to not having off-street charging. There are those who can leverage the cheap off-peak electricity from companies like Octopus or Ovo and pipe that energy to their car via such solutions as Curbocharge, Gully and Nodum. And we'll be talking about them in more detail in an upcoming episode. And then there are those, like the people we've chatted to today, who literally have to park their car a distance away, find public AC charging usually, and go fetch their car in the morning. James Court is an example. And then there are the Sarah Slomans of the world who don't have off-street parking, don't have convenient nearby AC chargers, and are at the mercy of the local infrastructure for charging. Having a Tesla definitely helps in that situation, but that's not a prerequisite. Ron Godfrey also falls into that category. It's worth saying that while it can be tempting to blow these issues out of all proportion, there are still upsides to doing this. In fact, I would suggest that the number of individuals who live without home charging, need to charge their car overnight, every night of the week, and still have a large inconvenience doing this, is probably a lot smaller than is imagined. If you're driving many more miles than the UK average in a day, then this is probably the case, but I don't think many people fall into that category and have no home charger. If we kind of summarise what we've learned today, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. People that we've spoken to, a lot of them have no problem without having home charging, but for some, the situation isn't working out practically due to a lack of local chargers and or higher charging costs. Now, obviously, this isn't an all-inclusive survey of people who don't have home charging, but it does give an indication of the different factors that play into it. If you have any different experiences living without home charging, please feel free to contact me at info@evmusings.com. As a final reminder, we've covered how to deal with living without a home charger on previous episodes. We've talked about finding cheap charging. We've talked about co-charger in interviews with Joel Teague. And last season, we had an episode talking about public charging using pavement chargers when we chatted with companies like Connected Curb and Chargy, and links to all those episodes are in the show notes. As a final comment in today's episode, I want to defer back to Sarah Slomans.
In terms of having confidence of driving electric without a home charger, I would say to anybody considering it to never look back. There are so many chargers everywhere around now. It's such a rarity that I can't get charged. And it's been such a long time since I returned a home of less than, say, 10%. There's always an AC charger nearby, particularly with those home sharing apps.
This season, we're looking at raising the awareness of carbon literacy with our listeners. One way we're doing that is with the Carbon Fact, as read by carbon literacy trainer Hans Nelson.
Air pollution contributes to almost 1 in 8 deaths globally. In the UK, it helps kill 30 to 40,000 people each year. Road transport is a key contributor to air pollution, causing 2/3 of nitrous oxides and 30% of particulate matter, mostly from tyres. So swap to public transport or active travel if you can. It will make you and our towns and cities an awful lot healthier.
It's time for a cool EV or renewable thing to share with your listeners. You may be aware that Dundee City Council is one of the more forward-thinking councils when it comes to electric vehicle adoption. They've installed several large charging hubs around the city to help taxis and other EV drivers make the move to electric. At their Cleppington Road Hub, they've also added a rainwater harvesting system. The new filtration system will capture rainwater from the solar canopy roof and filter it through state-of-the-art purifying processes powered using energy from the charging hub's solar panels. It's then sent to a 5,000-litre low-profile underground water storage tank, and the water is dispensed via specific units at the hub and can be used to refill water bottles, etc. So they've used the solar panels already in place to filter the water, store it on site, and dispense it on site via dispensers with 55-inch TV screens for multimedia messaging about topics including sustainability and hydration. What a fantastic initiative. The EV Musings podcast is sponsored by Zapmap, the go-to app for EV drivers in the UK, which helps that EV drivers search, plan, and pay for their charging. Zapmap is free to download and use, with subscription plans for enhanced features such as using Zapmap in-car, on CarPlay, or Android Auto. And that's the show for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you want to contact me, I can be emailed at info@evmusings.com. I'm also on Twitter at MusingsEV. If you want to support the podcast and the newsletter, please consider contributing to becoming an EV Musing patron. The link is in the show notes. Don't want to sign up for something on a monthly basis? Well, if you've enjoyed this particular episode, why not buy me a coffee? Go to coffee.com/EVMusings and you can do just that. ko-fi.com/EVMusings. Takes Apple Pay too. I have a couple of ebooks out there if you want something to read on your Kindle. So, you've gone electric It's available on Amazon worldwide for the measly sum of 99p or equivalent, and it's a great little introduction to living with an electric car. If you're looking for installing solar panels, storage, battery and a heat pump, try So You've Gone Renewable, also available on Amazon for the same 99p. And if you've got Amazon Prime and you can use the Kindle lending library, you can read them for nothing. Why not check them both out? Links for everything we've talked about in the podcast today are in the description. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. It's available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave a review. It helps raise our visibility and extend our reach in search engines. If you've reached this part of the podcast and are still listening, thank you. Why not let me know you've got to this point by tweeting me at MusingsEV with the words home sweet home, hashtag if you know you know, nothing else. Thanks as always to my co-founder Simon. You know, I chatted with him recently at the Everything Electric show in the Excel Centre, and I asked him if he ever gets tired of spending time on his electric unicycle. He said, never. So I asked him if he ever finds things to complain about with his Tesla Model Y. He replied,
sometimes it's nearly daily.
Thanks for listening. Bye.